Each of the candidates will have 2 minutes to introduce themselves to you. We'll do that in alphabetical order, and then during the course of the evening, we'll reverse the order and move it around to try to keep it as fair as possible. Each candidate will have an opportunity to answer every question for a minute and a half. We have 60 minutes. We don't have a lot of time, so we're trying to keep the answers short and keep people focused on your question. The prerogative of the chair, if questions come in on these cards in advance, I just want you to know that if there are allegations, charges, political statements, I may edit them and get to the heart of the question in order to keep this moving. Becky is our timekeeper, and when she says stop, if they don't stop, I will tell them to stop. It's nothing personal, candidates. It's just that's what they've asked me to do, and I sort of like doing that. So with that, let's begin, and as I mentioned, we'll do this, if I can spell correctly, we'll start with Esther Mannheimer, then we'll go to John Mile, and then we'll go to Martin Ramsey. So Esther Mannheimer, please. 2 minutes.
Good evening. Thank you for the honor and privilege to speak to you tonight. My name is Esther Mannheimer. I currently serve on the Asheville City Council and have since 2009 when I was elected. I love Asheville. I care about Asheville. My husband and I are raising our three boys here in Asheville who attend public schools. My husband is a school teacher at Inca High School, where he's a social studies teacher and wrestling coach. We are fortunate enough that we also have all of our parents here in this community as well. This community is special to all of us in this room, and I realize that, and that is an obligation I feel in my duties as a city council member. And if elected, I will carry out what is the heart and soul of this community going forward. It is through community engagement and partnership that Asheville works best, and that's really part of what Asheville is all about. Right now, for example, we're working on a rezoning of the Haywood Road Corridor. And the West Asheville community is tremendously engaged in that process. They participated in selecting the group that's helping with the rezoning. And I've been by there to see the project, and many of the community members have come and taken part of the charrettes to formulate that plan, because this isn't about the city coming and doing something to your community. It's about the community and the city working together to further our collective ideas and vision for Asheville. And I'm asking for your vote in this election, and I've been honored to serve you thus far.
Good evening. Is this on? Yes. My name is John Mile. It's a pleasure to be here tonight and see so many energetic and interested faces. I'm encouraged we may have a good turnout in this year's election. And I also want to thank the League of Women Voters for this opportunity tonight. I'm an Asheville native, born and raised in West Asheville, graduated Asheville High School, Montreat Anderson when it was a junior college, and then later UNC Asheville for my four-year degree. I have spent a lifetime in service to this community, a combination of 30 years with the city of Asheville. Had several roles there over those 30 years. Have served in multiple boards and other capacities, Red Cross, Girl Scouts, All Souls Counseling, Family Services. I can't even remember them all sometimes. The idea of serving this community is what appeals to me and what drives me forward into this campaign. That said, I would like to think that we have done and can do better than we currently are seeing in local government. It's not a condemnation, it's a statement of fact. I hope throughout the question and answer portion of this evening, I'd like to transition my remarks around expanding our economy. I have some very specific ideas on what I'd like to see us do in that direction. I'm respectful of the tourist economy that has largely brought us here to this point in history, but the health care that largely gave rise to that is still very much alive and untapped. We have a world-class hospital at Mission Hospital. We have some of the greatest physicians anywhere in this town. through my work with the City of Asheville and others in the community on what became known as the Asheville Project, a very innovative and cutting-edge way of treating people with chronic diseases. I think we have all the pieces necessary to make Asheville the health and wellness mecca it is destined to be. I want to see us get to that destination in my lifetime. And I'm going to stop early. I'm through.
Hi, everyone. My name is Martin Ramsey, and I'd like to thank the League of Women Voters for putting on this event and for the opportunity to speak to you here today. As we move into the 21st century, our city, state, and nation is at a point of crisis, and it is the young who are inheriting it, facing a future that, by all objective standards, is bleak. We are rendering entire populations of Americans invisible, as if their lives and aspirations do not matter, while our leaders sit shifting deck chairs on a sinking ship. The old logic and solutions do not conform to the needs of the day, and it is the goal of my campaign and my supporters to advance an agenda that stands in opposition to the consensus of wealth that dominates public life in our city. We believe that people can and should be making decisions about their priorities of their own money, and that is why we support participatory budgeting. We believe that doling out benefits and incentives to corporations to invest in our city is a losing battle with diminishing returns, which is why we support cooperative economic development that democratizes wealth and creates power on the job. To those who believe that it is impossible, we would simply point to the examples of other American cities who've implemented these ideas and ask why we should not consider them here in our progressive city. Another Asheville and another world is possible, desirable, and necessary. Let's start here and now and begin building the groundwork for a society and a city that we can be proud of, rather than a veneer that conceals the great inequalities of wealth and power that loom large over our city and nation. We have to demand a real alternative. The future belongs to us. It will be ours, wrecked or gleaming, and we're not going to take this lying down. Thank you.
The first question is coming from the audience, and it's for Mr. Ramsey. Given the recent relationship difficulties experienced between North Carolina, the North Carolina General Assembly, and the City of Asheville, what will you do as mayor to work to restore and improve the city's relationship with Raleigh?
While I consider myself to be a generally affable person who can get along with most people, we have to realize that we're not being negotiated with in good faith. Good faith efforts have been made, and they've been largely rebuffed. And that's a reality that I wish weren't the case, and I would do my very best to remedy that in the short term and remove our current General Assembly. Thank you.
John Mile, please.
Same question?
Yes.
Yes, I would offer that part of the seeds for the current water debacle were perhaps sown many years ago when Asheville unwound the regional water agreement. I particularly thought it was probably time to get rid of that agreement. It hadn't functioned very well. But I think the people in Henderson County in particular were treated very poorly through that, and I think those ghosts have come back to haunt us. That said, I think the first step I would make is to try to develop a better relationship with those folks in Raleigh. To the extent they're willing and want to have that dialogue, I'll be the first to try and have it. That said, I'm very, very encouraged with our litigation. I think council has, in fact, done the right thing. Our hand was forced there, and I think to see that through is part of the strategy. But I think it was basically a lesson we were all taught as children, was do unto others. And I think as long as we treat the people in the region and in the county that way, I think we'll have a better future with our water system and our other assets.
This is a national question right now. And the question is about cities and their struggle with their state legislatures. And North Carolina isn't unique in this, but we are an extreme example of the conflict happening between the legislature and cities. Our own Senator Apodaca from Henderson County said, cities are getting too strong. And we have seen hostile action against cities from our legislature in this last General Assembly, not just Asheville, but many cities. And this is why when I attended the League of Municipalities, which is the group that tries to represent cities collectively, when I attended their legislative platform committee meeting before the legislature went into session, which consisted of about 300 representatives from cities across the state, I stood up and I urged that committee to adopt as one of their legislative platforms a position against taking Asheville's water system. And I gave that rally cry to them, and it was the number one vote getter from that group. This is going to require work between all cities in North Carolina to work with our legislature to educate them about the function and need for cities in North Carolina, and not to try to diminish us or harm us, but to work with us going forward. I, of course, also would urge everyone to vote to change the current party in control of our legislature, because ultimately that may be what's required.
I'm going to take advantage of my position here and ask a quick yes or no question as a follow-up. Yes or no, and we'll start with John Mile. Would you vote to drop the city lawsuit challenging the General Assembly passed law that transfers ownership and management of the Asheville water system to a regional authority?
No.
I'm Martin Ramsey.
I also support the water lawsuit going forward, so I would not vote for that.
Esther Mannheimer, please.
No.
The next question that comes from the floor is, what will you do to keep Asheville growing economically in this recession? Basically, what is your stance on tourism as a form of economic growth? And we should probably start with John Mile this time.
Thank you, David. As I said in my opening remarks, I have a tremendous vision that came to me years ago in some of my work around the nation in healthcare over the last 15 years. I was going downstate to speak to a group, which I do a great deal of in this part of my life. And I passed Durham on the I-40 stretch through Durham, and they have a great city limit sign there that says, "Welcome to Durham, the city of medicine." And I thought if I had Duke in my backyard, I'd say the same thing. But it occurred to me driving down the road is, why don't we have signs that say, "Welcome to Asheville, the city of health and wellness." Together with Mission Hospital and the physicians here, the culture that gave rise to the Asheville Project, the same culture, the same people that created Project Access, which is still one of the most replicated models for providing care to indigent patients nationwide, all of that came here. The pieces are here. I remember just a few short years ago, the Chamber of Commerce came out, and I don't think we were ever told who it was by name, but a company decided not to locate here and do business because of the cost of healthcare. What if people lined up at our city limits to bring their businesses and their industries here because we're the city of health and wellness? Together with our greenways, our bikes, and all the culture that drives us right now, the pieces are there. I want to diversify that economy, not at the expense of tourism, but in addition to tourism.
Martin Ramsey.
Cooperative economic development is a part of my platform, and I think that we should take an example from Cleveland, Ohio, which has successfully implemented a cooperative economic development strategy by utilizing what they refer to as anchor institutions, such as major hospitals, for example. In their case, Johns Hopkins Hospital spends $2 billion a year in goods and services in their community, and none of it was being directed into a neighborhood that had been devastated by outsourcing, capital flight, and white flight. And so I think that model holds some interesting possibilities for us here in Asheville. I think that we can use our institutions' buying power, like universities and hospitals, in order to encourage a worker-owned and worker-managed way forward into the future. And I do think that tourism should be critically looked at. I'm the only one up here whose power bill relies on the tourist industry. So I'm not likely to burn down my place of work. So keep that in mind. But we need to recognize that the tourist industry is overwhelmingly a low-wage, non-benefit sector of our economy, and it is the only growing part of our economy in a major way post-recession. We can do better than that, and I hope to be a part of that. Thank you.
Asheville is very lucky right now to enjoy the lowest unemployment rate in the state. And we also have currently the highest rate of job growth. With that said, though, and bringing in companies like Linamar and New Belgium, the job is not done. Economic development is very much needed, and high-quality jobs with benefits are what will add to our community, as well as a push to diversify our job base so that we're not vulnerable to one very large company closing and leaving. We're lucky right now, we're right here in the building, the Chamber of Commerce, and the Chamber of Commerce is engaged in their 5x5 plan. The city and the county and others partner with the chamber in that effort, and what the 5x5 plan talks about is recognizes all the different economic development areas that Asheville is already working on and can strengthen themselves in. For example, the arts. The arts is something that some people overlook, but it is very much a part of our community and something that we can focus on. The city has recognized that it needs to play its part and push for economic development, and it has. We as a city council have adopted an economic development incentives policy that does do just that, and it works in partnership with the entities I mentioned to bring in the companies like New Belgium and Linamar.
I'm going to ask, I'd like to ask a quick follow-up on that, and we'll start with Esther Mannheimer. What experience do you bring that would aid government efforts to create private sector jobs?
Well, obviously, I serve on City Council right now, and I have spent a lot of time learning from this community and learning what it is you want from your City Council in terms of the direction we go in for economic development. I have spent several years learning about all the different groups that play a part and how it works in terms of bringing in new jobs. The state has a role, the county has a role, the city has a role, and all the private entities have roles. I have been working with our city council to put together an economic development plan wherein the city invests in infrastructure in the city to make us shovel ready for the next investment. One of those projects is what we call the Rad Tip Project. It's a horrible name, but it basically talks about the River Arts District and the redesign for the River Arts District. A lot of infrastructure improvements need to go in there so that the River Arts District can continue the trajectory it's already on, allowing for individuals and companies to come in there and invest and add to our community. Based on the time that I have spent in office and the things that I have learned that are needed components and the people you need to work with in order to make this a reality, I have been able to process all of that, put together that experience, and I feel that I'm in a position now to be able to contribute meaningfully to that process going forward. Thank you.
John. Yes, I would say as a contrast, rather than planning and designing and hoping for, I've done it. The Asheville Project, again, I hate to keep going back to that, but there are literally companies in this country right now that did not exist before the Asheville Project. I recently left an employment relationship with a client group out of Virginia, a $35 million capital investment from Walgreens that launched that off the ground. That didn't even begin to happen until after the innovations in healthcare that came out of Asheville. There are groups in North Carolina and Indiana. There are groups in Phoenix, all over the country, Florida and South Carolina, practicing a much higher level of patient care for chronic disease patients that literally did not exist 15 years ago. I've done it. I've led the charge. I've seen what's possible. And again, it's part of that vision I have for seeing Asheville take it to a whole nother level.
First, I would like to say that although I think that the healthcare aspect of our local economy is an important one, I think overinvesting in that would also be potentially dangerous. think all of us know the ballooning healthcare cost at the national level, and who knows where that's going to take us. The last thing that I would like to see the city be under is another bubble situation, which is not out of the cards. And also, I categorically reject the notion that technocrats have been doing a great job of leading our country in terms of economic development, and I think that we can utilize different methods rather than smokestack chasing businesses that are providing jobs in the hundreds when we are approaching 100,000 people. We need to do better than that. Thank you.
This is a question from the audience. $2 million was appropriated for the Asheville Art Museum renovation. Why does this project take priority over other worthy city improvements? And we'll start with Martin Ramsey.
That's a good question. And I personally would like to see the Asheville Art Museum have more free days and be more accessible to working people. That said, $2 million is not chump change, and I would venture to say that that's why investing our time and energy in a participatory budgeting project for the city of Asheville would be very fruitful, because I think that regular people in our neighborhoods and communities can come together and decide the priorities for our discretionary budget. And if we decide then, as a whole, to invest $2 million in the art museum, then I would respect that decision. But I think that we could also be considering things like Sunday bus service. We could also be considering any number of other projects, but we should have that conversation in our neighborhoods and schools where we are and move from there. Thank you.
Bus service indeed. Our streets are crumbling. Our sidewalks, if they exist, are almost unwalkable. We have infrastructure needs that are not being touched, and yet we're hit with a 12% increase in costs. I'm careful to say not taxes. With a 4-cent tax increase and the great sleight of hand that was perpetrated on us taxpayers this year in the budget process, was they took the $3.50 for recycling, which almost none of us minded paying. I certainly didn't mind paying that. It went away as though we had been done a favor. But in its place comes a $7 fee. As best I learned math in the public schools in this town, that's double what we had paid in the past. They'll now pick up my trash and recycle my recyclables. Folks, I'm here to tell you, for the first time in the history of this city, we don't get our garbage collected for the taxes we're paying. This is like giving $2 million to the art museum is like planning a trip to the beach when I can't even pay the rent. We've got to get the basics first, and then we can talk about the things we'd want to do, like give money to a museum.
I appreciate the question and the opportunity to talk about this. Let me take a step back. We talked about the legislature and what the legislature threatens to do to Asheville. Well, what do we need to do to insulate ourselves from that threat? We need to be able to rely on our own fiscal health, and that's what we're doing. We need to make investments in our community that will give us a return so that we can rely on our own revenue. The city of Asheville, we as a city council raised taxes 4 cents. What are we doing with that money? We are putting it into sidewalks. We are putting it into roads. $60 million worth of capital improvement investments in the next 5 years. Asheville owns the Pack Place building, and it is only contributing 10% to an art museum. Enhanced art museums in your downtown prove that you will get a fiscal return. They raise property rates in the surrounding area. They bring in additional property taxes. They pay for themselves in short order. But it brings something more to our community. We're not going to be a dead town you drive into because your city council didn't make the decision to invest in your community, to make sure that it is a great place for all of us. And keeping in mind the balance needed and investing in things like sidewalks and roads, but in addition into things like arts, which brings all of us to a higher place.
I want to start with Martin Ramsey on this. What's more important to you, lower or stable taxes or city services?
I would hesitate to raise property taxes because I think that property taxes often have a tendency to drive gentrification. That said, I think that there's a wiggle room in that. I think that we can avoid making our city unlivable for its poorest residents and its generational homeowners. And I do think that public services are very important. And I think that I would prioritize basic level services over not soaking the rich.
John Mile, please.
Let's rewind the clock just a bit. On back on April the 18th this year, when we had the fiscal sky is falling meeting at the Civic Center with the council, and they were going to close parks, shut down fire stations. We all remember the drill, and of course almost none of that had to happen. But what played out in that process? I was careful to listen, and you can go back and look at the record. It's very clear. The city's own audited financial statements for the fiscal year ending June 30th of 2012 showed that the city had a 3.8% increase in revenue over the previous year. Nearly a 4% increase. I don't know about the rest of you, but my income didn't go up 4% that year. It's pretty good in bad economic times. This year, the end of June 30th, the city's current fiscal report is that we had a 2.6% increase in revenue. But what we heard at that Civic Center meeting was city staff telling the council our expenses are rising five times faster. Folks, I submit to you, if your income is going up almost 4% a year and your expenses are going up five times quicker than that, you've got a spending problem. You don't have a revenue problem. That said, I would also suggest that the vice mayor fact check on something she said. It's the second time I've heard her recently address the fact that the city of Asheville owns that building, meaning Pack Place. I'm in possession of a memo from the city manager and verified by the city acting or interim city attorney that the city of Asheville does not own that building.
Well, I've reviewed the lease, and it's up next year, and we can take the building back then if we want to. And we can take the building back for $1 if we want to in 2037. It's a complicated real estate structure. The question was whether or not I'm in favor of lower taxes versus city services, I believe. The city has not raised taxes in 10 years, at least 10 years. This last year was the first time. Our tax rate is very competitive. When you look at tax rates across the state, it is not high. I was in Black Mountain yesterday making a presentation at the Highland Farms and showing them a slide which shows that our tax rate is fairly low when you look across the state. That being said, you do have to pay for city services. Police and fire services do not bring revenue. Those are things that cost money, and that is over half of the general fund, which is around $90 million here in the city. And one of the things that contributes to the high costs here in Asheville is that of cities greater than, I believe it's 50,000, we have the greatest change in daytime to nighttime population. We grow in 50,000 people a day come into Asheville. And what that means is we have the highest per capita call volume for police and fire responses. So we have great financial pressures to manage all of the issues that a city needs to provide and provide services for.
Maintain control of our public water system so as to help guide our current, the development of the city. I think that affordable housing should fall into that category. I also think that municipality should invest heavily, especially in education as well, because it's crucially important and is being defunded at the state level and the federal level to a great degree. And those gaps are going to have to be filled somewhere. And it's not like we can just decide not to pay for the coming generation's education.
John Mile.
I would agree with almost every one of those, especially the water. It also should be noted, I'm not an attorney, as is Ms. Mannheimer, but I can tell you from my many years of experience that there is a statutory duty for the city of Asheville and other municipalities in the state to perform inspections functions. So that's one that's certainly should be added to that list of core services. I think anything beyond that, Parks and Rec is a tremendously important part of this community.